Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Intercom Communications.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. This week, a fundraiser, cancer survivors, PennDOT, and Beth Burkhouse, director of the nonprofit Hexagon Project, along with Lisa Temples, art teacher at Riverside Junior Senior High School and owner of Little Hands Big Art Scranton, about the Hexagon Project. When we talk about something artistic, sometimes people say, oh, I don't get it. But in the case of Beth and Lisa today, there's so much about the Hexagon Project that right now is so visually artistic, you can't help but get it. Beth, explain what exactly the Hexagon Project is.
Thank you. Yes, the Hexagon Project is an international project about how we are all interconnected and how we can see ourselves not only as local or regional and national, but also international citizens, because the hexagon was developed as a shape. It's a little bit unusual. The hexagon is called a tessellation. It is meant to infinitely interconnect. So when I became involved with the interdependence movement, which is something that's been in existence since the day after 9/11, actually, to emphasize the fact that we are not just local but global citizens, and to create a more just and civil society everywhere, I thought that the hexagon would be a very good metaphor for this visually. So we're talking about visual art. It's also something that is motivational to young people. Our project is open to all citizens everywhere, but I'm an art educator, and so my job was to think, to be involved with the interdependence movement, how could I make this a visual arts project? How could it become motivational to students everywhere? So the hexagon is used in which you create art that about things that are relevant to you personally in your life. And believe it or not, we have connections everywhere. We have connections that start with ourself and asking ourselves about our own identity, a personal identity, and then how are we connected to the people around us and what are the issues that are involved with us. Bullying is often a very important issue with young people today. And so we've connected to young people, communities, schools, high schools throughout the world, and people use the hexagon as the space in which they talk about their issues and how, not only how they are, but what can we do about them?
But you created this.
And yes, I developed this as an outcropping from the interdependence movement, which was started by Dr. Benjamin Barber and our own local advocate for the arts and culture and society in general, Sandra Myers. So she asked me to become involved in it, and I developed this visual arts right after I retired from 35 years of teaching art education in the public schools. So I thought this was a very relevant way of going about getting young people involved with thinking about how they're connected, thinking about their rights and responsibilities. So a lot of times we talk about our rights, but what about our responsibilities in an interconnected world? What are the issues? What are the human rights, the civil rights, the children's rights? What are issues in governments, and that's governance, which is very, I think it, we're acutely aware of in these times.
It's quite a way to really start discussions.
Yes, yes. And this allows teachers to talk about the variety of themes that we are involved with interdependence. Our environment is extremely important today. So, yes, and teachers can have students select the themes that they love, that they're connected to, that motivate them, and they can. We really want students to do research, not just put down, which at the beginning, you know, it was like peace, love, la, 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 you know, it was like really cute kinds of things like that. But on and on, we are digging deeper. We're asking, we even have curriculum on our website that teachers can use. We have PowerPoints. We have downloadable templates. We have materials that can, that actually brainstorming sheets and materials that teachers can take in their hands, they can give to their students so they can think about these things in more depth. Our theme this last year was transforming conflict. And on our website, we actually have a guidebook where you can download and then have students thinking about, okay, what are the issues, but how can you solve them? How can you get together as a team and come up with some solutions to these issues?
Let's talk to Lisa.
Sure.
Because Lisa's involved with all of this at Riverside Junior Senior High School. So you're dealing with students that Beth is putting the idea in their heads to create something. We all know that's a tough age group.
Tough age group.
Because as Lisa said, it's all la, la, la.
Right.
It's so how do you get into these other things?
Well, if you're talking about conflict and you're talking about it like in something that's happening in another part of the world, if their eyes just kind of stare at you because they're like, this is art. What are we doing this for? You have to sort of bring it in where, okay, conflict in this classroom, in your grade, with your friends, with your peers, in the lunchroom. I know there's conflict because I'm working here with you kids and I hear all the, you know, the chatter. And there's fights, right? We know that. So let's stop this, and let's kind of put it down on a piece of paper or on a canvas or on a fabric or, you know, with a piece of clay, and let's sort of like get it out there. And then, first of all, keeping their hands busy is a great thing, and their minds are thinking. And then they can work through some of their issues through their art. And you see it. You know, I had a student that lost a sibling by suicide, and it was big hole in the student's heart. It just doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. A couple of years, a couple of it. No, it's something that's always there. And I knew this, and I said, well, why don't you, with this tree that you're doing, like maybe put a little symbol of this sibling in the tree. And it was like nothing else mattered. This was now the most important thing that the student had ever had to do, was work on this piece of art. And it was amazing to me to just see like how they just don't think that they could do things like that. But if a teacher can guide them and direct them, then that's what's most important. So that's just a conflict in his own, you know, in the student's mind.
And as Beth mentioned, the whole idea of bullying.
Oh, yeah.
Bullying, suicide. These are tough things to bring into an art room.
Well, these are the things that are, you know, bothering the students. And the bullying is a very big one. We did some ceramic ones a couple of years ago, and a lot of the themes were bullying and cyberbullying. Because kids, you know, it's not just like calling names in the hallway. It's something that even we don't see because we're not on their website or whatever their apps are that they use to communicate with.
Too many.
So there's so many levels that as a teacher, we only can see what we can see, but they still have these issues and they need to have a place where they can feel safe to talk about them. And then if they can create a piece of art. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, we have one here. And again, since we're not, unfortunately, television, we'll give you a little bit of a, where did this come from, Lisa? Is this from
this
your
is
class?
Not from my student, but it's just another issue about self-esteem, right?
It's Union Endicott High School up in New York State. And this is about body image. Mm-hmm. And this is about
a measuring tape
that's ultimately, it's a hexagon. It's more than a hexagon. It's a book. It's a hexagonal accordion folded book that's hexagonal, and the young lady is being actually choked by this measuring tape because its body image is such a
anorexia, bulimia,
just such, wow, such an issue. And she's explaining this visually to us, and it's a very, very powerful piece. It's on black with white marks that are somehow partially erased, and the final image is with her head with this almost like a noose around her neck with the measuring tape. These are the kinds of things that come out from students. I wanted to tell...
It's like art therapy. When you create a piece of art like this,
yeah,
it gets it out.
It's also a statement, a taking a stand on something, and then knowing that your work is going to be seen by others, and your work fits into a bigger picture.
Right, and you're not alone.
You're not alone.
There's
a lot of things that are about suicide prevention, the hotline. A lot of students are creating. There was a fifth grade student this year who did a piece about child abuse, and it was so, it just brought tears to my eyes. It was very primitively drawn, but it's about a child who says, "Mom and Dad, if you're angry, there are things you can do to help." And one of them, this little child, is saying, "Stop and wait. Don't lash out." Mm-hmm. Secondly, go to therapy. I mean, this is what these kids
are talking
about.
This is what these kids are coming to school.
Right.
They're not coming home to a calm environment. They're coming to school with a lot of baggage. And then put that with the student stuff going on with their friends, and it's just a lot of stress and anxiety for these poor kids.
And see, now there may be people that are listening and they're saying, we're dealing with these abstract things, but it's not only abstract that you're dealing with. You were telling me that you were working with the folks who are in mine reclamation.
Yes, EPC AMR. We have a partnership with them. Through Wyoming SEM, the science teacher there, and they spent last year, one of their environmental groups at Wyoming SEM worked with Bobby Hughes. They went out, they explored the acid mine problems. Some of the kids, by the way, were from China, and they also have the same problem. So we made a connection internationally there. They created hexagons about everything that they learned. That's going to become a banner that EPCMR will be able to use with the artwork inside of hexagons about just the Knox Mine disaster, illustrations of what happens with different types of the water pollution. And it was painted with pigments from the iron oxides that actually they're recycling the iron oxides that create this toxic water. So all of these things are tied in. Science and the
history.
Arts and the environment. The history. They learned about the Knox Mine disaster. And you can see that even our postcard has that one hexagon on it. So you can, and so others can learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa, do you have that opportunity? I know in dealing with some of the teachers in your school, do you have science teachers? Do you have, even math?
Yeah.
Is a big hexagon.
Well, that is definitely a goal for my district. We would definitely want to work together with all the teachers, come together like that. That's an excellent lesson. It's on the website, your website.
Yes.
And it is.
I'm sorry. I just wanted Lisa to continue a little bit. And maybe while you're here, give the invitation to some of the other students and teachers in other districts other than Riverside. And maybe they can get involved in this as well.
It's not that difficult. We're doing it right now. It's just a different way of doing it. Okay, we're teaching these things, we have the materials, and we just need to come together, and I think it would be super successful. The kids will learn so much, they'll also feel a unity between the teachers, and, if they work on something that has, double benefits, right, my science and my art, my family consumer science and my history, whatever. It just seems to, bring it all together. It's almost practicing what we preach. We're talking about how we're all interconnected and we all need each other.
Well, schools should feel the same way.
And it does. And the students don't have to come from China. You can have some students from Luzerne County to Lackawanna County,
exactly,
and find out that everybody is truly interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, again, give us a little bit of how people can get in touch with you,
okay,
especially if we can get some other school districts, even students, even teachers just involved.
Our venue this year is at Stories Literacy Center, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to bring some teachers together. We're working on that with IU 19 to get together and plan, and that would be through the language arts. But we have our website, which is hexagonproject.org. You can go there, and everything is free. You can download all the materials for free. And print them out and use them in your classroom. You can get in touch with me also through the website. Anytime, I'm happy to talk with teachers about this. We are available for that. And,
we just created our own hexagon here today by bringing you in, by letting you talk on the air, and being able to bring your ideas now to our listeners.
You'll see art from kids all over the world, and it is so inspiring, and it's just amazing to see something, kids from Africa and all over the world, right, and all hanging up in Scranton. It's exciting.
It always is. I think I'm going to change the title of this program to Who Knew?
I wanted to mention very quickly, too, our theme. We're going to be unveiling our theme for next year. This year was Transforming Conflict. Next year's theme is diversity in any way that you would like to interpret that. So we're excited about initiating that. Also, this year for the first time, our website we have redesigned, and every work that has been entered into the project, and this year it will be over 600 works of art from around the world, will be in an online gallery on our website. So anyone can go to the website and search. You could search Africa, and we'll bring up the hexagons from Uganda or Nigeria. You can search Australia and bring up those hexagons. So you can see, you can search by grade level. So you can find out what people are saying throughout the world, plus our own country, and we have them from, you know, the East Coast to the West Coast to California. So that's very exciting for us to introduce our diversity theme and to invite people to our exhibit, and then also to go online and check our online gallery.
Thanks again to Beth and Lisa for joining us. And don't forget, you can log on to hexagonproject.org for more information. Now, don't go away. James May, Regional Director with PennDOT, is joining us next to talk about what else? Northeast Pennsylvania roadways on Special Edition. Welcome back to Special Edition. James May is the Regional Press Director for PennDOT. He's joining us now to talk about what else, construction, and PennDOT wants your opinion. I'll tell you how you can make your opinion known after we talk to James.
When there's not construction or there's not work being done on the roads, then the complaint becomes, hey, why aren't you out doing any work? Why am I not seeing my road fixed? Why am I not seeing any improvements made to the area? And then when there is, why are you out doing construction? Why are you out tying up my road? Why are you out?
And we're not happy.
Many times people will say to me, why don't you do this work at night? And,
yes,
and the example I give is on Kaiser Avenue a couple years ago, we started getting hammered by the local businesses out there saying, you know, you're tying up my business. People can't get here. Why don't you do this work at night? And so we went back to the contractor. We said, can you start doing this work at night? And they did. They started working on Kaiser Avenue at night. The following Sunday at church, a lady pulled me aside and said, why are you working at night? I live on Kaiser Avenue. I can't sleep out there. I'm living in those apartments, and it's keeping me up at night. And I just laughed. I felt kind of rude because I was laughing with her. And I said, oh, this is so funny, because for the last 2 months, all I've heard is, why can't you do this work at night? And now we do it on a Friday, and by Sunday morning, people are pulling me aside and say, why are you doing the work at night?
So you can't win.
Sometimes. I was just telling somebody recently that In real life, though, people are very kind in this area. People always assume that in my position that I just, you know, people walk up to me in the store and they're rude, and they're not. In real life, it's the people who can be anonymous in a Facebook post and have total anonymity. In real life, the people around here are very kind and understanding. They may not always agree with everything that takes place, but as far as to me and to the department, they don't understand, they may not agree with it, but by and large, people are very kind in this area.
So what can people do?
Yeah, and so I always view my role as, in part, as much as possible, helping the public understand the rationale for what is happening and why it's happening. And sometimes it's just an issue of, okay, people don't they didn't know that that was the case. They didn't fully understand. And they said, I don't understand why when you move into a single lane pattern, you know, it'll be 3 miles back that the traffic is 3 miles back before you get to the construction. Why is that so long? And I told the caller, I said, well, because we live in an area where you have hills and valleys and curves and turns, you have to get it back far enough where you have good sight distance so that when a truck is coming at 70 miles an hour up over the hill, or some other drivers coming up on their cell phone and they're not paying attention, they don't smash into the back of the traffic that stopped. And he said, that actually makes sense. I never thought of it that way. So part of my job is to try to help the public understand the rationale for why things happen. Other times, the public has a lot of good ideas, and other times the public will bring stuff to our attention that, quite frankly, we did not know. There's sort of this assumption that PennDOT, because we are the government, that we have eyes and ears on everything, and we know that when the grass in that intersection in Shikshini on, you know, a certain road is too high and you can't see around it, that somehow we know that, or that when the you know, every time it rains on a dirt road up in Susquehanna County, that we know it's overflowing and the drainage isn't working properly, or there's a dead deer out there. So when you have those kind of situations, you can always call 1-800-FIX-ROAD. It varies a little bit with cell phones, but that should take you directly to the county, or they can transfer you to the county, and you can report that information. You can also email me. My email is jamay@pa.gov, jamay@pa.gov. And I love it when the public comes up with creative answers and solutions, different ideas. The one example that always comes to mind is the airplanes on the roundabout.
Which need to be replaced, by the
way. They do. And
they
so,
need to,
you know,
be repainted.
And we knew
yes.
that. When we went in, we knew the issue with that would be that as the snow plows go over those, they will wear down. But that entire idea came because there was a lady in Archbald. She called and she had a great idea, and that was, hey, why don't you guys paint airplanes on the roundabouts? And that was one of those ideas that as soon as I got done talking with her, I said, I love this. Took it to the bosses at PennDOT and got them to buy in on the idea. We hear all the time, PennDOT would be so much better if you would just listen to the public, if you would actually, you know, take calls from people. And because the public has a lot of ideas, listen to us and do what we so when we listen to the public, they say you shouldn't have to listen to the public. And when we don't listen to the public, they say you should listen to the public. So, well, you know,
well,
what? We listen to the public and we don't think of everything.
Well, and speaking of which, you cover what area?
We cover 6 counties in northeastern Pennsylvania: Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Susquehanna, Wayne, and Wyoming County. So those are the 6 counties that I specifically work with. That's District 4 in northeastern Pennsylvania. There's 11 districts across Pennsylvania numbered 1 through 12, and there's no District 7. It was combined a few years ago. And so we're all divided up in different districts across the region.
So you rely on other people.
And just in that district that I said, those 6 counties, there are 8,500 what we call snow lane miles. So a snow lane mile means Interstate 81 is 2 lanes that have to be plowed, in each direction. So that would be 4 snow lane miles. If you would take all of the miles and just stretch it out, it would go just in District 4, it would go from here to Anchorage, Alaska, and back. So that's the amount of miles. So that when we, and I always use that analogy, especially in the snowstorms, when somebody says, I haven't seen a snowplow go past my house, we can go on the 511 system and actually see, and many times they are going past the house much more than people realize, but it's snowing as soon as, you know, right behind the snowplow. But I also say, keep in mind that the crews are covering the distance from here to Anchorage, Alaska, and back. That's the just in our district is the amount of miles. So, yes, we don't have our eyes and ears on everything. We don't know about every dead deer that's out there on the road, or a drainage issue, or pothole that's out there. So 1-800-FIX-ROAD is a great way to let people know. And I would say, if you want to get information to us, 1-800-FIX-ROAD. If you want to get information from us, the 511-PA app, or on your phone, you can go to 511-PA to get information from us.
I think that's underutilized a lot of times, too.
We just did some upgrades to that, and they're going to have information in there related specifically to people going to the Penn State home football games.
You had that with Williamsport
yes.
for the Little League
yep.
as well.
And
yeah.
so there's going to be every time that Penn State has a home football game, just because there's so much traffic that goes out there, there are some improvements to the system that they have now that they're going to be able to update people on the traffic specifically as it relates to the home football games.
Talking a little bit about some of the construction in our area. We've got another roundabout coming. We've got work on the Sansui, and we have that project in Dunmore. Any time frames on all
well,
of
and
those?
On the other roundabout coming, just so to be clear, that's one that is part of the South Valley Parkway, that there were roundabouts designed. That's a new road that's going in down there, and part of that, a section of it is completely new road. That's a roundabout that's been part of the plan. It's part of the other route. So we didn't come up with another idea for a roundabout.
No, it's just new.
Right, and yeah. so it is being constructed, and it'll be constructed to October 31st. Interestingly, right down the road from that, there's another roundabout that's going in that is not PennDOT related, but the Hanover 9 Industrial Park. That area down there, I was down there recently and looking at the warehouses and the amount of industry that's coming in down there.
Big.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And so for people who always say that, you know, roundabouts are not designed for trucks, the private sector is looking, and they came to us and said they wanted to install a roundabout there on that so that they can get their trucks in and out much quicker mm-hmm. and safer. And so there are actually two roundabouts that are being constructed there. One is PennDOT, and that's at the corner of Prospect and Middle Road. That one is being constructed right now. And then the Hanover 9 Industrial Park is doing one up on South Valley Parkway into a brand new road that they're constructing back into their into the industrial park. For anyone who attends Luzerne County Community College or Greater Nanticoke Area Schools, the high school there, a reminder, especially when you come to a work zone that has a detour, follow the posted signs, not necessarily your GPS. You know, once you turn, your GPS may get you there. But I went out and I followed my GPS on that sign on the Prospect Street before it even was put in place. And my GPS, once I made the turn, as if it was already being detoured, it led me through these like little back alleys. And you know what we don't want is a whole bunch of students driving through somebody's back alley where the kids are playing basketball and stuff. So especially on that one, if you're going back to Luzerne County Community College, we have gone out of our way to make that a very clear. We have some message boards down there from 29, and we've put all sorts of signs out there. So a reminder, follow the signs out there, not necessarily your GPS.
All right. How about the Sansui?
Yeah, there was a delay that came in that. It was about a week-long delay. And so because of the situation that was happening there, one of the companies had looked at possibly filing an injunction to have us halt the work. So we kind of circled back around, put it back out. It's still on track for the work to be done. There were some delays out there months ago. Utilities were working on the road out there. Verizon had some issues, and they had the road dug up for quite a while. Many times with utilities, that the utilities will come and they're working on something, and people say it's a state road, so then, you know, PennDOT's responsible. Or it's either a private road or it's a private contract, you know, a local road or a private contractor doing work. And so we run into that as well. And, you know, with the utilities, one time I remember saying to my boss, we had done some work, and where utilities come in as well, we hear this, that, you know, we'll go out and pave a road, and as soon as we pave it, I know the questions that people have. As soon as we pave it, they come back and they tear it up and they rip it up. And I remember saying to my boss, he said, why don't we just go to them and say, no, you're not going, we just paved this, you are not going to tear this road up again.
I don't think you could.
We can't. And,
no,
and so, you know,
can't.
Because they come and they, you know, they'll say, well, this, what we're dealing with is the sewage system. Do you really want to tell everybody who lives on this street they can't flush their toilets,
or
they won't
or
have any heat,
have
or you
right.
won't have your internet, God forbid. You know, and so you can't do that. And so it's an emergency situation. Our roads are very old. Underneath the roads is a system.
Is just as old.
There's way more stuff under our roads than what people realize. That we recently had State Route 92
right.
down in Exeter closed.
Yes.
But, you know, many, many people came to me and said they don't understand why that is taking so long. The road is closed. Get in there. Take the old pipe out. Put a new one in and be on your way. Have you ever tried to call one local utility to say, you know, I want you to come out and hook up my cable, but sometime they say, we'll be there between 7 a.m. and 2 p.m., and then they don't come and they come back the next day. That issue, and I wish I had it in front of me here, there were so many utilities involved in that project. It was unreal. And you had situations where it was a domino effect where we had to build an access road to get down to do the work. But before we could do that, we had to move a light pole. And so PPL would come move their light pole and their wire. And then Verizon would come and move theirs. And then Frontier, there were about four or five on one pole.
People don't realize all the work that goes into everything. And that's why it takes a long time. Take us to Dunmore.
Yeah, let me just explain why the split is in place. We are committed to maintaining two lanes of traffic on Interstate 81, especially in that area. There's 80,000 cars a day that go through there. And so the way you do that, when you're trying to work on a bridge in the middle of the interstate that has 80,000 cars a day, is you split the traffic. So when you're going through there, you'll see the crews in the middle. It's a private contractor who's out there working in the middle of the road. So the splits are going to be, I hate to even give a timeline, because when they're working on, I think it's 9 bridges out there, and they'll be working out there up until next year through 2020. And so they'll move from one bridge to another bridge, northbound and southbound. We will keep the public posted. Again, if you want to get our regular updates on all of this stuff, we do send out the weekly report. I know that you all get that. But again, email me, jamay@pa.gov, and we can kind of keep you posted on that whole timeline, because that's sort of a moving operation that they're working on all of these bridges, northbound and southbound in that area.
All right. One more thing you had that you wanted to mention.
The governor just announced a new innovations challenge. We do this every year, but this is an opportunity for schools in the area to try to come up with some creative solutions to problems. And I think it was Dallas Area High School won our contest last year. This year, they're trying to have high school students come up with ideas for solving the issue of litter, and not just pass more laws and pick it up. To use technology, to use, I don't know. So we're putting a challenge out to high school students as part of your school to come up with a creative solution using technology, using whatever means you can, to help us deal with the litter issue. Winners, there's a $3,000 prize. I think it's split among first through third places. And so there is some money available for the schools that they can that they can win this for their school. And this is a good way for high school students to start thinking creatively, one, about how can I be involved in my community, but then also to kind of be thinking through how can I be a problem solver for issues in my community as well.
Always a pleasure to have James May join us here on Special Edition. PennDOT right now has a survey on their website. It's 16 questions, and it's available through October 22nd. It's about their performance during the summer road construction season, but not only construction and maintenance activity, it's also about how they communicate with you. They'd like your response. And again, you can find that on the PennDOT website through October 22nd. Don't go away. More Special Edition to come. Now on Special Edition, Joe Velahosky, firefighter and officer with the Germania Hose Company, on their upcoming fundraiser.
Germania Hose Company is a volunteer fire department in Duryea. We've been in existence for about 115 years or so.
Give or take a few.
Give or take a few. We run with our sister hose company, Excelsior. We run all major incidents in Duryea and a bunch of the surrounding communities.
One of the things you mentioned was that you are a volunteer hose company.
That's correct. We're 100% volunteer.
And that's tough.
It's tough in that not only are we the ones that are responsible for running all the calls, and whether that's for our department, that's fire calls, rescue calls. We even have water rescue. We have a dive team that responds to routinely to the 5 surrounding counties around Luzerne, and on occasion they've gone as far as 100 more miles away. And you know, the volunteers, it's a small group of men and women, and we're responsible for all the calls, but we're also responsible for day-to-day administrative running of the department, and we're the ones that are responsible for all the fundraising as well.
And when it comes down to that, especially when you're dealing with volunteers, you must have a very special group of people who will give up their time in this day and age, because everybody is just so busy.
Yeah, we've got a really good bunch of folks in both the departments, but of course I'm a little biased towards ours. We've got folks that give up not only time, but sometimes their own money. Just depends on the situation. And, we unfortunately have to do a lot of training. We have to do a lot of fundraising anymore on top of running our calls And you know, last year, we ran somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 to 400 emergency responses. So we're not the busiest company in the county by any stretch, but we're not running once or twice a month either.
But when someone needs you,
they expect us to be there then and right on the spot. They expect us to be, you know, pretty immediately available. And luckily, there's not a whole lot of calls that we can't answer. We're pretty good about getting at least some personnel to almost every response.
Let's talk a little bit about your fundraiser.
The third annual Wine Fest, and it's coming up September 28th, which is a Saturday. We're going to run from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. We've got, I believe we have 9 wineries at this point. We've also got two local breweries are going to come in and participate. We have one vendor that does mead, which is interesting.
Love mead.
He's been participating for a couple of years now. So yeah, we should we expect to have a really good time.
Where's it going to be?
It's going to be in Germania Host Company grounds, which is 430 Foote Avenue in Duryea. The festival itself takes part or takes place on our paved lot. Right at the fire department, and we have a really big piece of property with a lot of parking available.
And what time?
We're going to run 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. Tickets, advance sale tickets, $20. At the door, $25. For advance sale, you can get them from any host company member, or you can also go online and go on our Facebook page, which is Germania Host Company. And there's a link to the Wine Fest, and on the link to the Wine Fest, there's another link to buy tickets.
And what about as far as food is concerned?
Sure, we have, right now we have two food vendors coming, working on getting a third. And there's also, we also have a lot of craft vendors, and some of the craft vendors actually sell some snack items and those types of things as well.
Nice, so it's going to be a full day.
Yeah, it will be a full day. We have live entertainment. Spraza Band's going to be there playing for us most of the day. We also, interestingly, you know, there's a new trend around that folks have been seeing a little bit of, and we're going to have them. We have axe throwing. Axe Attack is coming to help us out, and they're going to have a booth set up, probably with two lanes, for folks to try their hand at doing some damage on some wood. They run a really good job. They nice little safety briefing, and they have everything set up so that the likelihood of getting hurt is almost none. We don't expect anything to happen. We expect to have a real good time. Over 21 really is what we're targeting. Yeah, the community in Duryea is a pretty good bunch of folks, and we tend to help each other out as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. You're also raising awareness.
Most folks, at least in my opinion, they know what the fire department does. To a point. I don't think a lot of folks, until you get into it, and I was this way before I started participating, you don't quite realize, number one, the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes, the amount of training, and to be very honest, you don't really realize the cost of what we do. The equipment that we use, the apparatus that we use, even just our building and grounds maintenance, it runs a lot of money. We have to pay insurance. We are lucky in that our borough covers our workers' comp insurance for us, but we still have to pay vehicle and building and liability insurance. We have to pay, you know, just like everybody else, power and gas and all that sort of stuff. On top of just the emergency responses, there's a lot of other things that go on.
This is really important.
It's extremely important. And, you know, we are committed and dedicated to staying there for the people of Duryea and the people of the surrounding communities as much as we possibly can. It's more and more difficult every year. Volunteers are less and less available. Certainly that we're asking for money quite a bit from especially the people in Duryea, but we want to try to give them something back for their investment. We have a pancake breakfast in February that is the same deal. You know, we'll sell tickets for that, but you're going to come and you're going to get a really good meal for $8 or $9 or whatever we end up tickets being this year. I think they're $8 last year.
And then again, it's a lot of fun.
It is. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun for everybody.
How about the volunteers? What does it take?
We're always looking for folks to volunteer. And you don't necessarily have to be an active firefighter to volunteer with us. You know, we can certainly use folks who are good at organizing things or good at fundraising or good at administrative tasks as well. As I said, we're always looking for volunteers. And if anybody's interested, they can certainly contact the department. Or you can just show up. if you want, at our trustees meeting, which is generally the first Wednesday of every month.
Even somebody to just help at a fire scene with traffic control.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the job of our fire police. And mm-hmm. and if you're interested in doing something like that and you want to come in, there again, there's always training for it. We're looking for, maybe you're interested in water rescue and you don't necessarily want to fight fires. We certainly be more than happy to talk to you about that.
Let's give them once again the rundown, Joe, the where, the when,
sure.
as far as the upcoming Wine Fest.
Absolutely. So the where is going to be at the fire department grounds, 430 Foot Avenue in Duryea. The when is Saturday, September 28th, running from 1 to 6. Tickets $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Also, if you're interested and you don't want to necessarily come up and drink a lot of wine, there is a designated driver ticket available. We do encourage folks to, you know, we want you to drink responsibly. We don't want to see you come up to Wine Fest and then leave and have a problem. So either bring a designated driver or arrange your ride home ahead of time. And 9 wineries, mead, a couple of breweries, a lot of craft vendors, food vendors, live music. That's going to be a good day.
Thanks again to Joe Velahosky from the Germania Hose Company with the details about their upcoming fundraiser on Saturday, September 28th, their Wine Fest. Now, coming up, it is Survivors Day. Amanda Marcagiani is the Community Relations Coordinator with the Northeast Regional Cancer Institute.
This is our 27th annual Cancer Survivors Day.
Amazing.
The event has changed over the years. The 28th of September is our Kirby Park event. There'll be registration at 10 a.m. until about 10:30. And then the main portion of it is called the Circle of Survivors. So everyone in attendance will stand in a circle and you have the opportunity to share something about your cancer experience. It's a really cathartic kind of morning, and it's not just for current patients or survivors. It's anyone that's really been affected by a cancer diagnosis. We know that someone going through cancer, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their entire family and their whole network. So we encourage family members, survivors, doctors, healthcare professionals, just anyone. I mean, we've all at this point been affected, unfortunately, by cancer. But this is a day for everyone to come together and have that networking opportunity. You might meet someone that has a ribbon on that had breast cancer that you don't know, and you can have a conversation with them and feel like you're not alone. Our mission is to ease the burden of cancer, and this event really fulfills our mission, and we just want people to come. It's free. There's no fees for it. We just want individuals to have a space and a resource, and we'll have staff on hand as well if anyone has questions related to cancer.
So if you're going to start at 10 o'clock at Kirby Park, what's going to happen after you mentioned the circle? Then what do you have planned for the rest of the time that people are together?
After that, we'll have some light refreshments, and then it really is that networking opportunity for people to chat. Not everyone speaks when they're in the circle, and that is obviously the individual's choices. So you might hear a story or something that someone says that might have spoke to you, and then you can have that time to further delve in with that individual or individuals. So it really is just about the conversation and networking aspect. There's, you know, if you don't want to say anything in the circle, that is completely fine. You know, we just want to welcome everyone to this event and let everyone know that we're a resource, and they don't have to go through this journey alone.
And probably one of the nicest things about the Survivors Day is that you have people that come back.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
We have
amazing.
A lot of returners, which it's a joy to see them year after year. And it just gives us an opportunity to thank them for everything that they do and supporting the Cancer Institute, and really, you know, to see that they have come out on the other side and are doing well. If you want to share something about your experience, there will be individuals that will start the circle, and then you can, again, you can choose to speak or not. You can tell us something sorrow, perhaps, or something that uplifted you and others and people that you've met along your journey. So it's really up to kind of how you feel.
So how long do you expect the day to go?
The day should usually end by noon. It may be a little bit sooner, just depending on the amount of attendees that we have. But everyone's welcome to stay until noon and have conversations, have some coffee and refreshments. At Kirby Park, the one track area that they have in between where one of the universities has their football stadium. So yeah. It'll be in that parking lot. And there'll also be signage there as well. So just to let them know they're in the right spot. A few years ago, I like to mention this story. There was a woman that was dropping off off a camera for her husband, who was playing in a softball league on that particular day. She wasn't aware of our organization or what was going on, but she actually came over to the event and spoke in the circle, and that was the first time she publicly spoke about someone in her family that had been diagnosed with cancer. So it was a really cool moment for us to be able to coincidentally help this individual that really didn't plan on being part of the event. So we encourage all of those individuals to come because we're all learning. You know, we're learning about cancer. We're learning about other people's stories. And that could be something that you could say in that circle might be the turning point for someone else, or have a new friend out of that experience, or just a really good conversation that morning that might help you get through the day if you're currently battling. Or, you know, you can share that story with the person that you know is battling or is also a survivor. So yeah, it really just does continue the momentum of storytelling and helping our community members.
The Northeastern Regional Cancer Institute also does colon cancer awareness, but that's not until March.
That's not until March, yes.
Although it should be all the time.
Yes. March is colorectal cancer awareness month. So we have our casual day event. It is our biggest awareness and fundraising campaign. And really the importance is about early detection and screening for colon cancer. So, you know, we want people to get screened. We know that that can help save lives in that particular type of cancer. We know that there's not every cancer has some sort of viable tool that we can use. But with colon cancer, you do have the ability to get screened for that. So we sell t-shirts and pins and wristbands, but really in each piece of the fundraising portion, it really is about the education. Having a casual conversation with your family member or friend about the early detection and screening for that. The prep.
No biggie.
Right. You know, there are other tools out there for screening than a colonoscopy. So just talk to your healthcare professional about what is the best test for you. Oftentimes, you know, with a family history, there may be screenings done earlier than age 50, but really just talk to your healthcare professional and they can guide you in the right direction.
For those of us who like a nap, that's the best. I look forward to that.
You get a ride home.
You get a nap.
And you have peace of mind.
Yes.
As well.
Now, you do have something coming up in November, which you're involved with.
Yes. It's our Spirit of Hope celebration. This is done by a board of ambassadors. The board chair, his name is Leo Vernetti. He's well known in the community. And they've been working with the Cancer Institute for many years now. They've raised more than $380,000 for the Cancer Institute through this event. And the board of ambassadors is community leaders from all different types of organizations in our community. And there is a live auction, a silent auction, there's food stations, there's music, and it really is a celebratory night and provides, again, that hope for people. We do have an honoree, and this year the honoree, his name is Ryan Robeson. Many may be familiar that he was the individual that was in the full firefighter gear at the Scranton Half Marathon this year, trying to achieve a world record. We are so happy to have him. Through his work, he has helped individuals through a foundation for firefighters that have been affected by cancer. So we're really excited to hear Ryan come and speak and provide hope to others and just the impact that he made on the whole community. He worked so hard to honor his father and his family and to really just show what he was made of. So that will be November 8th. It's a Friday evening. It's from 7 until 10:30, and it's at Mohegan Sun Pocono.
How do we find you folks?
You can go on our website, which is cancernepa.org. You can call our office, which is 570-941-7984, or you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at the Northeast Regional Cancer Institute.
Survivor's Day is coming up.
Again, Saturday, September 28th from 10 until noon, we'll be at Kirby Park.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. A production of Intercom Communications.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.